the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
All right, welcome to another edition of the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast. So this is Angus Ketchout, Extension Entomologist, Mississippi State, and I'm in here with Dr. Don Cook and Dr. Jeff Gore from Stoneville. Today we're going to be recording from Starkville. They was over here today. We had a student defense this morning, and we're done with that. We're in a good mood. Student passed. Everybody's good. And what we're going to do is we're just going to talk about the situation that we're currently in. Can talk probably mostly about cotton, but we're also going to touch on some of the soybean pest problems going on right now, and just a general update of some of the things that are happening right now.
Yeah, it really seems like right now there's a lot of things starting to happen in the insect world. A lot of things changing, starting to hear about plant bugs starting to pick up in a lot of cotton, not everywhere. There's still some low populations, but so we'll probably focus a lot on plant bugs today.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, if I forget, well, some of y'all remind me, but I'd like to, before we end this thing, move over to soybeans and at least mention some of the things we've been hearing in the field as far as red-banded stink bug goes. I know that's on a lot of people's mind, especially after the winter that we had this past year. But with that, I'd say let's just get on into it and talk about some of the things that are going on right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So like I just said, you know, one of the biggest things that we're starting to hear about is plant bugs starting to move into cotton in a little bit bigger numbers. We did one of these a couple weeks ago or 10 days ago, something like that, and we talked a little bit about diamond. And I think now that we're starting to see that adult migration into cotton a little bit more right now, we're well into square, and a lot of our cotton is just before bloom, a little – starting to see a few pictures on Twitter of blooms here and there. So it's probably going to be about that time to get some of those diamond applications out. We talked about it on the last podcast, really kind of about holding off just a little bit on those diamond applications because we weren't seeing those big numbers of adults moving into fields. But I think now is probably the time to make that switch and start really thinking about plant bug control.
Yeah, and what complicates this in some areas, you know, you have multiple ages of cotton in the same field.
Yeah, that seems to be the thing that's plaguing these growers this year, the consultants or whoever's walking these fields, is a lot of times we're managing, you know, we might have four-leaf cotton and eight-node cotton side by side and in the same field, and that's creating some problems for sure. You know, we need a plant bug shot on some, even a thrip shot on some for the most part. And then you start complicating it with aphids. And we talked about, I think, a little bit of that last time, but we're still dealing with it. You know, I spent a lot of time this week in the Delta riding around. And, you know, one of the things that I was pleasantly surprised about now that we got some hot weather back is a lot of this cotton right now is starting to get its legs under it a little bit more. It wasn't growing good, but some of that ugliness, I guess, that we were seeing earlier is at least starting to fill in and camouflage over for the most part, and we're getting well into square and on some of it. And I guess the oldest cotton I've heard of is about the second week of bloom, but that seems to be the exception right now rather than the rule.
Yeah, and the thing that is really happening this year a lot seems like more so than previous years is there's just a lot of variability out there in insect populations. I mean, and you know, I'll get a call from one person saying, I've already sprayed this cotton three times, and the next call I'll get will be, where are the plant bugs? I'm not picking up anything. And I think that has a lot to do with just the overall dynamics of all of the crops that are in the general vicinity of those individual fields.
That's right. Yeah. One thing, Don, and you can elaborate good on this, you're the thrips guru. Believe it or not, we still have cotton out there that's getting thrips treatments. I mean, and the problem with this is, again, we have different ages of cotton in the field, and we might have a field with 20% of the cotton that's 30, you know, third leaf, maybe fourth leaf, and then we got other stuff that's pinhead square. And And we always say this, and this is a general rule, and it works most years, but we're generally going to quit spraying thrips at 4 to 5 leaf max. But this year we have had to extend some of that out because some of this cotton is really small, and we got big cotton next to it. So talk about that a little bit, Don.
Well, the other thing about that is, you know, typically with cotton, you know, up till it gets 4 or 5 leaves, you're wondering if it's going to grow. When it hit, and then it'll hit a point where it just takes off. Well, some of this cotton, I mean, it's hit, you know, that 4 or 5 leaf stage where you think that rapid growth is going to start, and it hadn't. You know, anytime it's, I mean, that's one reason soybeans tolerate thrips so easy, is the vigor and the amount of the how fast it grows. And, you know, even, you know, cotton that you would think would be fine, if it's growing real slow and got a bunch of thrips on it, you're still going to get damage in that terminal area that it can't repair fast enough.
Yeah. So talk a little bit, too, about, you know, we discussed this at lunch some because we were getting some calls on it, but talk about the fact that, you know, we have had to extend some of these thrip sprays a little further than we normally do because those plants that are lagging behind and how far they actually got to go.
Well, that's true. I mean, typically for us, if we plant normally, most times we'll see a delay in maturity on the back end. But as you go further north, Virginia, Tennessee, thrips are their number one pest because they really have no leeway for delays before they run out of growing season and heat. Well, some of this really late cotton that either got planted late or came up late or got delayed, and I mean –
Which is a lot of it this year.
Yeah, we're very much in a similar situation. You know, we wouldn't be talking about this as much if it was, you know, the 1st of June, but it's the 1st of July and we got 2, 3, 4 leaf cotton. We have effectively shortened our growing season to something like what Virginia or North Carolina does, so we don't have a lot of leeway. And it depends on what percentage of the field is at this stage.
That's right.
If it's 20-30%, that's pretty significant.
Yeah, I think it is, too. And think about this. We know that cotton has a long way to go. I mean, and we're running out of time, and it's got a long way to go. I think we got time if we have the right fall. But the other thing to consider, if you have a three-leaf cotton plant sitting next to a 7-node, it's getting shaded out anyway. Take the thrips completely out of the equation, and the plants around it, the big plants, are going to shade it out and make it even grow slower. So we need to get that pressure off, and that's not something we're normally faced with. But this year, I think it is.
Yeah, it's kind of that multiple stress thing that we talk about
exactly.
A lot of times is the thrips are one thing, one stress that we can remove from those plants.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, that I think we're, for the most part, we're getting on out of this thrips window, even though I've had a couple calls on it even today. But that is becoming sort of the exception now. But this aphid thing has been kind of puzzling to me. And I say puzzling. I mean, we've dealt with aphids to some extent every year. But we've been dealing with aphids now for a month. And we've even sprayed some 2- and 3-leaf cotton, which is extremely rare for us, especially given the last decade or so. But we know we don't get much out of seed treatments anymore on aphids. The stuff that we're using are simply resistant to. And these aren't just treating aphids because there's a couple aphids on the plant. This is cotton that's not growing anyway, particularly on heavier dirt cotton. And it's absolutely sapped up and covered up with aphids.
And now stunted.
Yeah, it's stunting. It's holding them back. And like we just talked about, we got a long season left, and this cotton's small. We need to not hold this cotton back, and these are easy calls when you walk into some of these fields, no doubt.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that goes back to what Don was talking about with thrips. The season right now for us is so much shorter than it should be that we're probably going to recommend things that we haven't recommended in the past or suggest things that we haven't suggested in the past.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
A lot of these things, you know, given enough season and enough heat, cotton can compensate for this. But I'm not sure we're going to have that amount of time this year at the stage that this crop is the 1st of July.
Yeah, and the one thing that I try to tell people is when we're talking about these multiple pest situations is try to think about which one is hurting you the most. And that's the one that you absolutely do not want to scrimp on. because we're in a situation right now, we're already behind. So depending on the fall, the yield potential could be compromised on a lot of this cotton. Not saying we're going to have bad yields, but they may not be up to where they may be off 100 pounds from where we would like them to be. And so we don't want to spend too much money right now because we're dealing with a few aphids, a few thrips, plant bugs, because the cotton's erratic in emergence. But we do need to focus on those ones that are going to take away that bottom line from us at the end of the year.
So what about let me get y'all's opinion on this. This is something we talk about frequently, I guess, and used to be extremely reliable, don't seem to be much anymore. What about the aphid fungus? I've got a few questions about the aphid fungus.
Well, my opinion is that it's become something that we can't rely on.
I agree.
You know, it used to be around the 4th of July or so, you could almost put it down on the calendar that fungus was going to hit and take out the aphids. Now, one thing I will say is we had a field in Stoneville, and this is something else that I wouldn't rely on very often, but we had some cotton that was absolutely dripping with aphids. Angus was going to put a test out over there, and the dang parasitic wasp, the Lysophlebus, completely annihilated that aphid population. I've never seen a parasitoid do that to aphids. I mean, I've seen them, a lot of them, but I mean, I can't find an aphid in that field now.
Yeah, and I really hadn't looked into this, you know, as far as, you know, the exact figures on it. But it seemed like when our cotton acres really declined is when the aphid fungus got, you know, less predictable. And it may just be
not enough inoculum in the soil anymore.
Yeah. And, you know, it has to reproduce on aphids, on live aphids. So that may be part of it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, so I guess what we're saying on this aphid fungus is given where we're at, given the, I guess you need to take into consideration the size of your crop, how far along it is, but it is not predictable like it used to be. In some cases, and I've seen this the last several years, it was a little later in the year, we never did get the fungus. Hardly ever, and I think last year the first I actually was able to kind of confirm of it was actually in August. So if we got aphids on us and they're at a point that, you know, they're slowing the growth even more, I think we're going to have to deal with them. That 4th of July window is just not predictable anymore at all, unfortunately.
Yeah. So what's the products of choice in that situation for aphids then?
Well, so I think it goes without question saying that Transform is probably, when you consider price and you consider efficacy and everything else, and the fact that plant bugs, as we mentioned, it'll probably talk about here in a minute, start moving in, obviously Transform is going to be about the only product that we can use that's going to take care of plant bugs and aphids effectively without having to come into a tank mix. Now, if you don't have plant bugs, I mean, there's a couple more. We have Savanto, that, of course, is labeled now, and you have Carbene. You know, outside of those three, I don't have a whole lot of faith in anything for aphids anymore, but Transform seems to be obviously the product of choice, especially because you're picking up that plant bug component.
Yeah, those other two aren't going to do much for plant bugs. And the other thing, what I just said a minute ago about not breaking the bank right now, is those other two are pretty expensive for something that's only going to control aphids.
Yeah. So let's move in and talk a little bit more about plant bugs for a minute. And I think it's exactly how y'all both described it earlier. There's been a few spots that have actually required multiple treatments, but for the most part, everybody's, hey, where's the plant bugs? I think that changed to a large degree this week, but we still have areas where they're light, but have had a number of calls where we're definitely above threshold. Some of the cotton that I actually looked at yesterday and some of the test plots that we have sort of in the South Delta, we actually had some numbers that were about fourfold threshold, which was really surprising to me. Then I went down toward the Holly Bluff area, and I couldn't buy a plant bug and 10 node cotton to save my life. There was nothing, 100% square retention. So right now it is still very geographically dependent where you're at. And I don't know exactly, you know, why that would be, but I do expect they're going to keep coming. They always do in the Delta. But the hills have had probably more plant bugs this year, at least in certain areas, than we've had in a number of years as well.
One thing that may be going on in the Delta, you know, we're getting excessive rainfall. So these alternate hosts have plenty of moisture to grow, so we may be holding some in some of these non-crop hosts.
Well, and it's just now to the point where some of the earliest corn's just now getting to that brown silk stage, and we've got all stages of corn out there. There's still a lot that's just now tasseling and got green silk, so that's going to be holding a lot of those plant bugs as well.
Oh, there's some still waiting to tassel.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to see even a bigger movement of plant bugs. And, again, this is not anything that's unexpected. I mean, we know we deal with this every year in the Delta. And once we get into that bloom period, that's when we need to – I know we did a lot more imidacloprid than I like this year. And I actually did not fight it too bad on the early side, maybe like that very first shot when we got right around squaring. But I've made no bones about it. I'm not an imidacloprid fan. But I knew it was going on. It was going out, and it was that we were hanging some squares. But when we get into this bloom period, we need to – seriously consider moving off of that. And we have other products out there that we know we do a good job with. Of course, we've mentioned Diamond. Of course, Transform has led our test for the last several years. And then we need to start looking at some of these mixtures, such as Acephate, Bifenthrin. Of course, Bidrin. I'd throw Bidrin in there as well. And there's others, but, you know, those are the ones that just come up to my mind immediately. But we've done a good job controlling plant bugs the last few years.
You know, and this is probably the first year that I've actually suggested that a couple people use Acephate pre-bloom this year, just from the standpoint that they had enough plant bugs that they needed a good killing shot, but it wasn't so many that you wanted to spend $11 or so on Transform. Still needed to stay cheap because the cotton was at that early enough stage. And, you know, we have the conversations when you start talking about spraying Acephate that early about flaring aphids and flaring spider mites and other things. But I think there were some situations this year with the crop being late and needing to save a little money early that Acephate actually had a fit early season.
And I think here probably in the next week or two when we really start getting into some more stuff and things start changing a minute, we'll come back and talk a lot more about some of the newer stuff going on in cotton. That's sort of a pretty good update on the things we're seeing in the field, some of the things that we're talking to people about. Let's spend just this last few minutes talking about soybeans for a minute. And I've had quite a few calls on soybeans, particularly starting this week. But there's not that much going. There's some odd things. A lot of grape calaspis in the South Delta. You know, that's getting people's attention because they're catching a bunch in their sweep nets. They don't worry me a whole lot. They are about like a bean leaf beetle. They feed on the leaves, but not even as bad as a bean leaf beetle, just using the defoliation threshold of 20%, you know, in reproductive beans. But red-banded stink bugs. I've had four different calls this week on red-banded stink bugs where people are running 1 to 2 per 25 sweeps in the South Delta. That has me, I'm not going to say I'm concerned. Those numbers right now don't concern me, but the consistency of them catching those numbers and four different groups of consultants reporting these to me may be an indication of what we're going to deal with later.
And it's primarily south.
It's primarily south right now. That is right.
But you're talking about stink bugs in general. There's just clumps of different species here, there, and yonder. There's clumps of some of these earliest planted fields have had greens in them for over a month. I've been looking at corn, making some collections, you know, ear stage, milk, dough stage. And it's not hard to find brown stink bug in those, which is not typically the case. And then with these red bandeds, and we're talking about, you know, the how spread out the cotton crop is. The bean crop is really spread out. I mean, we've got beans that are still coming up.
And still being planted, for that matter. So I guess going forward, we'll get back to this topic, of course, in great detail, I'm assuming, in the near future. But, you know, if you're particularly if you're in the South Delta and you got you know, you're checking a bunch of beans. What we just told you is certainly nothing that I would be overly concerned about right now, but it should be on your radar screen. It's something that we need to be thinking about. We need to be watching, and we'll see how this pans out. I'm not real concerned about 1 to 2 per 25 sweeps, but the consistency of it tells me that I think we're going to be dealing with threshold numbers probably in a short period of time. And we'll get back to this with a lot of detail as it starts unfolding, but just wanted to get on the radar screen.
Yeah, and don't freak out about what Don said about finding a lot of stink bugs in ear stage corn right now, because, I mean, Don, make the point that they were right on the edge.
This is all edge effects. I mean, you get more than 10 feet in the field, you couldn't find one. So it's nothing to be concerned about, nothing that's, you know, just economically justifiable to treat. But it's just unusual. I typically don't see that. So it may be an indication of populations in beans later.
Yeah, very well could be. All right, well, I think we have spent about all the time we had planned on spending today, and wanted to just provide sort of an update of what we're all seeing, the things we're hearing from you all out in the field, and pass that along to you. And with that, I think any closing comments?
Not from me.
I'm good, man.
All right, well, thank you all for your time, and we'll get back next week.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.